Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. I'm going to read there first. Our text is Philippians in the New Testament, Philippians, chapter 4, but I would like to begin reading in Proverbs, chapter 4. So we have a long way to go from Proverbs 4 to Philippians. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Philippians 4 will be our text. There are a multitude of stimuli which bombard us every day, each of which has an impact upon us. Some more, some less, but we are affected by all the things which make up our experience. Our brains interpret each event and logs it into our memory banks. Much has little impact, but many things impress us strongly. Do you get hungry when a pizza commercial comes on? Can you get that jingle out of your head? Were you angered at some event on your way to church? Did that impact you? Or did you find a moment of joy this morning that brought a smile to your face? You see, our experience is what we sense with our senses, and our experience impacts who we are. And who we are is what we are in our heart. Therefore, we need to guard our heart and the influences upon it. I'd like to speak to you a message today. It's from Philippians chapter 4, and verse 8 is our text. The message is entitled, Think on These Things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege to be in your house. And our heart goes out to those who would love to be here and cannot due to sickness and providential hindrance. We pray that you would bless them and heal them and comfort the bereaved. And so many have offered the names on request. And Lord, we don't remember them all, but we just commit them to you, and we pray that your will be done. We ask that you bless your word as it goes out today. Speak it to every heart. We pray for those that are lost in our midst, that they might see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would convict them and draw them and grant repentance and faith that they might be saved today. May we who are saved be strengthened and encouraged to help all of us to recognize that those things around us influence us, and it impacts our hearts, it impacts our thinking. And so we need to guard our hearts, we need to guard our thinking. So help us to take heed to the word today as we find it in our passage, that we might think on these things. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, when we think about our message today and the title, how we want to think about some things, I began with reading in Proverbs chapter 4. If you'll go back and glance through there, and you'll recognize that that's a passage that deals with holiness. It directs us towards sanctification. And we need to guard our heart, because that heart will take us a certain direction. And that's what we'll find in Proverbs chapter 4. But here in Philippians chapter 4, and our text will be verse 8, but we want to also consider that this passage also lends itself toward holiness. It directs us to sanctification or purity of life. In verse 6, we are encouraged to pray. Notice, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so our thoughts need to be constantly directed toward the Lord, constantly in prayer. In everything, we need to be prayerful over. And so we have constant thought toward God. Verse 7 tells us that this will result in peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Are you troubled today? Are you upset today? Well, recognize that you need to take those things, commit them to the Lord, and then you trust in Him. God will grant you peace as you deal with your situation. And what we find here is that the mind of God influences our mind. God can give us peace. And so have your thoughts constantly upon God. God will influence our thinking. And then verse 8, we have the exhortation in the what we think about. Again, our text. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And when you think about it, really, this is a heart focus upon God. These are all positive attitudes and perspectives. Think on these positive things. And so we're exhorted in the way that we think. And then verse 9 is a command to obedience. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So what is in our heart will work out in a practical fashion. And so we recognize here that the passage itself deals and directs us toward holiness. Now in that is verse 8, where we're told to think on these things. Now first of all, I want to bring to your attention, this does involve our thoughts. When he says think on these things, think. Now why should we ponder or be concerned about our thinking, our thought processes, what we meditate upon, what gets our attention, what motivates us? Why should we be concerned about that? Listen, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 23. And in verse 7, the scripture says this, that as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. It's a reference to a king, but the statement here is the matter of, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Why should we be concerned about what we think about? Because what you think about is who you really are. And so what is it that you ponder day after day? Look at Matthew chapter 15, if you would. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. As you go about the community and you go in the workplace and you're around people that are not saved, it's evident that they're not saved by the way that they conduct their lives and the things that they say. And just who they are. But who they are betrays their heart, because that's who they are in their inside, and that's how they live outwardly. Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 18 says, but those things which proceedeth out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, for they defile the man. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. So you notice there that what it is, well, we act outwardly what we have on the inside. It's what our heart is. That's why we ought to think on these things. That's why Proverbs told us to guard our hearts, because it makes a difference and as to who we are. Now, certainly as God's people, if you profess to know Jesus Christ, isn't it your desire to glorify God? It should be our desire to do so. And listen, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. It says, whatsoever therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything in my life ought to be geared towards God's honor and God's glory, isn't it? And so we want to focus upon that. And that's going to involve my heart. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, again in verse 17. It says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So we ought to have an objective to glorify God in our hearts and to glorify God with our lives. So we're told to think, and so we want to glorify God by the way that we think. Now the passage itself, when we look into the text, Philippians chapter 4, if you've gone back from there, go back to the passage, and we want to look at these items that are listed for us. Items to think upon here in verse 8. And we'll just look at them one at a time. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That word true in the original language means worthy of credit. That's what the word means. This word is used in 3 John. Let me read it to you. 3 John and in verse 12. He says, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. True. It's worthy of credit. Now, the dictionary defines the word true as that which is certain, that which is reliable. It continues in its definition about that which is honorable, that which is virtuous. We certainly know the difference and distinction in our society about that which is true and that which is false. And what are we to be thinking upon? We are to think upon those things that are true, those things that are worthy of that credit. Then secondly, it says whatsoever things are honest. The word in the original language means venerable or honorable, that which is reputable. And we may not know all those English terms, and so by definition, the word venerable, Webster says, is worthy of respect or reverence by reason of age, dignity, character, or position. Is that what you're thinking about? Is it really something that is honorable? Is it something you can venerate? The word honorable means of good reputation, characterized by honesty and integrity, that which is upright. There are many things in our society that are not honorable. What are we thinking about? Do we think about those things, or do we think about things that are truly honorable, those things that are true, he says, and whatsoever things are honest. Now, the word reputable, we know by the definition, means of good repute, having a good reputation, that which is well thought of, that which is respectable. All these things are encompassed under this idea of the word honest. So we need to be thinking about those things that are true, those things that are honest. The next one is whatsoever things are just. That word means equitable. It means fair. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 20 and in verse 4, where it talks about the master went out and saw these people hanging around and said, hey, you go to my vineyard and work and I'll pay you that which is right. That's the idea, that which is fair, that which is equitable. Over in the book of Colossians, just a few pages over in chapter 4 and in verse 1, it says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. The word equal there. Knowing that you have a master in heaven. The employer ought to pay his employee a fair wage. And the employee ought to work for that wage. That's what we ought to be. And we ought to have that perspective. Well, that's that word just. And the word just, according to Webster, means that which is righteous or upright. And the word equitable means fair. And so we ought to be thinking about things that are just, not things that are unjust or dishonest. You're trying to figure out a way to cheat the IRS. That's not something that is just. That would be unjust. You want to cheat your customers. That's not just. Think about those things which are just. The fourth word we find in the text, whatsoever things are pure. The word in the original language means chaste or modest. It is to be innocent or to be blameless. Whatsoever things are pure, it says. Paul used this word over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And in verse 22, and I'll read that to you as soon as I get there, 1 Timothy chapter 5, and in verse 22, he says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. There it is, that's the word pure, same word as translated in our passage here. We need to think upon those that are pure. Now those terms that I gave to you from the original language, Webster defines them as, well, pure means to be free from sin and guilt. Want to be pure, don't want to be guilty of committing transgression. The word chaste means not indecent, but rather to be modest. Are you chaste? Are you modest? That's the idea of being pure. The word modest we understand and is defined as behaving according to a standard of what is proper or decent. And I know that varies from culture to culture sometimes, but we know in our society what something is modest or immodest. And of course, the word pure carries with it the idea of being innocent. And Webster defines that as to be free from sin or guilt, doing or thinking nothing morally wrong or impure. What are you thinking about today? Do you think about things that are pure? What do you think about things that are impure? What do you expose yourself to? Well, we're told in the passage to think on some of these things. And so we've looked at four of them. Let's look at the next one. And we are to think upon whatsoever things are lovely. That word means friendly or amicable, that which is acceptable. Of course, amicable means to be acceptable or pleasing and peaceable. Acceptable means to be satisfactory or agreeable. Whatever things are lovely, we can look around our society and find very quickly, that's not lovely, this isn't lovely, but this is. What do you think about? What do you allow to go into your heart? The next one says in our passage here that we are to consider about those things are a good report. These two English words in the original language gives the idea of the word commendable. Good report, commendable, that which is laudable. Commendable, according to Webster, says deserves to be commended. That which is praiseworthy. And laudable means that very same thing, praiseworthy or commendable. Good report. Do you have a good report as a Christian? Do you have a good testimony? We want to think upon things that have good report. There are many things in our culture that do not have a good report. And we ought to make discernment and stay away from those things. Now you notice as we go through this passage and we read a number of these items that are listed here, and we define for you six things very briefly in the text. Down at the end, I mean, Paul just doesn't keep writing and keep adding on words. But he does say this. In the verse 8, look at it. He says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. He just really kind of comes down, you know what? There are many other things that could be said, but if it's anything that's virtuous, if it's anything that should be praised and has praise with it, those are the kind of things we want to think about. One of the commentators said this about that statement. If there is anything truly virtuous, Paul did not suppose that he had given a full catalog of virtues which he would have cultivated. He therefore adds that if there is anything else that had the nature of true virtue in it, they should be careful to cultivate that also. The Christian should be a pattern and an example of every virtue. And of course, that word virtue is in a positive sense. Think on these things. Those are the items that we mentioned. And then those things, well, whatever else might fall under that category. Those are the things we need to ponder. Those are the things we need to reflect upon. That's what we are told. Now, we are told that in the latter part of that text. But go, if you would, back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 5. So we talked a moment about thinking. And we talked about some of the things we could think upon. But so that the entire statement, think on these things. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us this, and there are three verse references I want to mention in connection with this subject for a moment. And Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What kind of thought pattern do you see here? What kind of things are we commended to be thinking about? Worldly things or godly things? Natural things or spiritual things? Over to Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Well, that's a command that's hard to follow, I understand, but we're told to do that. What should my heart be focused upon? Things above. Things of God, spiritual things, virtuous things, not things that are of the world. Let's skip down to verse 16 of the same chapter. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace, notice, in your hearts to the Lord. And so very similar to the instruction found in the book of Ephesians, but it's the matter of what do we focus upon? Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, he says. Let it influence us. How much time do we spend in the Word of God? Does God influence us with His Word? Absolutely. So we want to be exposed to His Word. You're here today. That's a good thing. Because God will use His Word to make a difference in your life if you'll keep pondering upon these things, meditate upon these things, focus upon these things. And so our text tells us in Philippians chapter 4, think on these things. Now one other verse, I said there were three, and the other is found in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2. Let me offer you this text because verse 1 talks about how we ought to give our lives as a living sacrifice. But verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How does it say to do that? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What must we do if we're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? If we're going to think on positive things, what do we have to do? We have to renew our minds. You know why? Because we've been taught all of our life about things that are wrong. And we see all these things in this world. And we're exposed to this on a regular basis. In the workplace, off the TV, off the internet, you name it, we're always exposed to very negative, horrible, sinful things. And Paul says you need to renew your mind. Think about different things. Bring every thought into capture, as he talks about, to the Corinthian church. So we are told in the Philippians, he says, hey, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, you need to think on these things. That's what we should focus upon. Now, what if we don't think upon these things? What if you say, you know, preacher, I hear what you say and I know what the Bible has to say, but you know what? I want to think about whatever I want. And I'll watch whatever I want and I'll listen to whatever I want. And I'll go on the computer and do whatever I wish. And I really don't need to pay attention to this exhortation of God's Word. And I'll hang around people that are not exactly a good report and character and virtuous individuals. I'll just surround myself with those kind of people. What if you choose to do that? What if we don't think on these things? There are four things that I've listed, and they're in the bulletin outline if you follow along. But first of all, I submit unto you that if we don't think on these things is first, we subject ourselves to improper influences. I think that makes sense, doesn't it? If I don't take heed of that, then I'm going to subject myself to improper influences. Watched a video the other day that we let the kids watch when they were kids, and I don't know what in the world I was thinking or what we were thinking way back when, but I thought, man, they should have never seen that. And I shouldn't even be watching this now, but then I recognized, wow, I cannot believe we exposed our children to this. What's the problem? Well, just insensitivity. But what it is if we don't guard our hearts, then we allow all this stuff to come in, and that's going to impact us. That's going to influence us. And I want to remind you that this worldly stuff that's all around us, all this stimuli that's negative, is very deceitful. And it's very sneaky. It kind of catches you off guard. You don't even realize that it's happening. You ever hear the illustration of if you want to boil a frog, that you don't put it in you don't start the water and then drop it in the hot water, it's going to jump right out, correct? But if you take a frog and put it on a pan on the stove and cool water and then turn on the stove where it gets hot a little bit at a time, the frog will not jump out. The frog will sit there and boil itself to death, because it just catches it a little at a time. You know, that's what these things of the world will do. It's just so sneaky. And we become insensitive to it, and we become hardened to it. And that leads me to my second thought, is that if we don't think upon right things, then we will subject ourselves to improper influences. Secondly, we can expect ourselves to respond improperly. If I expose myself to improper influences, then I can expect myself to respond improperly. Why? Because those improper influences will enter into my heart, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so you can expect it's going to work its way out over time, won't it? I told you before that where I work, they have a tendency sometimes to just really talk like sailors. I mean, they curse like nobody's business, and I'll tell you, sometimes it's hard. That word will come through my mind. Do you know why? Because I hear it. I don't want to think it. I don't want it in my mind. But because I hear it, every now and then something will come through my mind. You know why? Because the influence keeps coming into the heart. As you think in your heart, so are we. We become insensitive. We become hardened to it. And we've seen that all through our society, haven't we? Things many, many years ago, some of you weren't even born. You know what? Those things were reprehensible. They weren't even under consideration. And now it's very common. Our moralities have dropped. Our level of distinctions have dropped. I mean, we'll do things that we'll do today that we would have never done 25 years ago. And it happened. And they're making things legal today that were illegal years ago. We become insensitive to it. You think that's true? I believe that it is. The other day I was out for a morning jog, and up near our house is Bartlett School. And around that bend of the road this past week, there have been these geese. If you find them in Bartlett, you know there's a flock of geese that kind of goes from place to place. And this geese happens to be, at least this flock, up near this school. And so I jogged right by them. It's not like I was setting the world on fire or anything. I mean, I'm a pretty slow runner. But it still should have been enough to stir the geese. Did it faze them? Didn't faze them one bit. I ran right by them, and they looked at me and quacked at me. And I went on by, ran around the school, and was coming back. And they were in the road. And I saw two of them sitting in, they were roosting in the road. And I thought, these geese are pretty stupid, really. Because one, they've lost all fear of men. They're not afraid. Those geese were sitting on the road. If a car would have come and they wouldn't have moved, they'd have got splattered out. But they weren't concerned. Now, I'm sure if a car came, it would have been enough to get them out of their roost, and maybe they might have waddled off the side of the road. But it occurred to me that, you know what? They're very insensitive. They have forgotten the fear of man. We get like that, I think. And what those things are, we're around it so much. And it's so deceitful. And we become so insensitive that we don't even recognize that it was wrong. And yet Paul's telling us there are things we ought to think about. And there are things that we need to put away from us and not think about. And so if we don't think upon these things, we subject ourselves to improper influences, and we can expect ourselves then to respond improperly. Number three, we will then have a wrong effect upon others. If I'm not responding properly, then I'm going to have a wrong impact upon other people. Correct? And that's true for you, isn't it? Number four, if we don't think upon these things, we are going against sound advice. I mean, the Bible tells us clearly. Think on these things. Will we take that advice? Will we apply it to our hearts? Well, those are some things that will happen if we don't think upon these things. But thinking on these things as commanded, there are some positives. There are four things I want to offer unto you briefly. First of all, if we think upon these things as commanded, it directs our hearts toward the proper response. If I have the right input, if I have the right stimuli, if I'm looking at the godly things and virtuous things, those things which are true and honest and lovely and good report, anything of virtue, then you know what? That's going into my heart. As I think in my heart, so will I be. So I recognize that if I would think upon the right things, then it will direct my heart toward the proper response. When I was first saved, I didn't read my Bible much. And I've admitted that before. I mean, I did go to church. I was very faithful. I did hit and miss on the Bible, but I really didn't read it in a consistent fashion. But when it dawned on me that I needed to expose myself more to the Word of God, and I really got into a daily activity of focusing upon the Word of God, it made a difference in my life. And the way it made a difference is that the Word of God was in my heart, so then when I encountered circumstances or conditions in my life, the Word of God was there to draw upon, to learn from, to guide me, to make right decisions. Now, I don't always make the right decisions, even yet today. But I'm so glad that as I keep reading the Word, I keep exposing myself to the Word of God, that it'll direct me toward the right response. And so if I do have that thought of one of those words of people I work with, I know that's a wrong thought, so I want to take it away and ask God to forgive me for thinking that way. Yeah, it's all based out of the Word of God, isn't it? And so thinking on these things as commanded, I guarantee you, if you'll respond to chapter 4, verse 8 in a very positive fashion and really develop that into your heart and life, it'll make a difference in you. That the command is there. It directs our hearts toward a proper response. Number two, it brings a godly conviction whenever we stray. God will let you know what? That was a wrong thought. That was a wrong word. You went to the wrong place. You're not dressing properly, and on and on and on. And so don't let the world influence you. Let God influence you as to how you conduct your life. And God will use those things to convict us, to bring us about a correction in our life. Number three, thinking upon these things as commanded demonstrates obedience to scriptural commands. If I would do this, then hey, I'm being obedient because that's what God said. And as I expose myself to other things that are true and honest and lovely and good report, and those things that are biblical, that's what God wants. And so the more I'm obedient, the better off I am. And so I want to be obedient to God and His commands, don't you? And then thinking upon these things as commanded, number four, manifests a heart's desire to follow after God. If you will do this, if you'll say, you know what, I recognize I'm really kind of slack in that area. I want to improve. I want to be as God would have me to be. Then that demonstrates that you really do want to follow the Lord. And you want to have God make a difference in your life day after day after day. Paul writes and he gives us this list and then that general summary statement. Whatever's virtuous, you think on these things. That's the word study. That's the text. Let me offer this in closing. Do you desire holiness? As a child of God, do you desire holiness? Do you desire to glorify God? I think you have that desire in your heart because the Spirit of God dwells in you, and I think that's going to be motivating you. We won't do it perfectly, but I believe that every child of God is going to have that desire toward holiness. We're going to be at different levels, but we're going to have that desire. But I ask that question in order to pique your interest. Do I desire holiness? Well, deep down, I think you do, but have you ever really thought about it? See? Do you desire to glorify God? Well, if you do, and if you're saved, I believe that you do. If you do, you will need to pay attention to your heart and what you're putting in it. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What is it are you putting in? I understand that in the computer industry, there's what's called gigo in, gigo out. It's garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put in is what you're going to get out. And the truth of the matter is, what we put into our hearts is what we're going to get out. And so as a Christian, if you want to follow after God, you're going to have to guard your heart. You're going to have to protect what you're putting in. Because what you put in is what you're going to get out. Now, if you should say to me, well, I believe I'm saved, but I really don't care to desire God's things, and I really don't want to glorify God in my life, and I'm not really interested in obeying these things, I'd have to ask you why you have that opinion. Why is it you would decide as a professing Christian that these things mean nothing and it shouldn't impact your life? This is truth that ought to affect you. Think on these things. If you would think on this thing, it would make a difference, wouldn't it? And so Paul says, think upon these things. Do you desire or do you not? I also want to submit unto you that thinking is more than just awareness. It's just not a matter of, oh, I know about it. But it's also a meditation. And it will result in influence. There's a verse of Scripture over in Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's not just a matter of memorization. Oh, I'm going to memorize it and then never use it. It's a matter of knowledge, but also an application. I desire to follow after it. And so it's more than just awareness. I was talking with some people the other day, and we're talking about milk and meat, and the word is milk. But you know, you can have milk in the refrigerator for the baby, but if it stays in the refrigerator, it's there, but the baby doesn't benefit from it. You got to take that milk out and give it to the baby. That's where it makes the difference, doesn't it? And so just to be aware, coming to church, that's a good thing. But if you hear these things and walk out that door and forget everything you've heard, you are aware of it, but it doesn't make any difference in your life. There's no impact. You really didn't take it into your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you should memorize Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it will make a difference in your life because that direction will be toward thinking upon right things. So let God's word have an influence. Make it practical. Meditate upon these things. It's more than just awareness. And so I ask you as I finish, how is your thought processes today? What do you think about? What are you doing to accommodate your thought processes? What are you doing to protect your thought processes? As a child of God, I think you want to follow the things of God and follow the Lord in your heart. I think there's a basic desire for that. What are you doing with your heart? How does that help you or hurt you? Is it profitable to consider these things? Absolutely. Think on these things. And if we would, we'll see that we're putting in the right things, it'll be the right influence, and we'll have better results. And so may we follow after God and be obedient to Him. Let's watch our heart. Let's guard our minds. Be careful what we put in our eyes and what we put in our ears and put in our mouths. Let's be careful of the influences because it will impact us in some way. And that's what the Bible's teaching us. And so we have to guard our hearts. Think on these things. Hopefully this is instruction that will bless your heart. I believe it will if you'll let it. Let's stand. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Bless your word to our hearts and help us, oh God, to meditate upon it. Help us incorporate these truths. And may it make a difference in our lives day after day. Help us to guard our hearts and to guard our minds that we might love you and serve you and be the kind of testimony you'd have for us to be. And Lord, we pray for those that are lost in our midst. Recognize that the message itself does not lend it toward the matter of salvation and their need for Jesus Christ, but certainly they can look and see that all the influence in their life, most of it is poor and evil and corrupt, and they need to know the truth. God, direct them to your word. Direct them to your place of worship that they might hear the word of God preached and taught, and that, Lord, it would have an impact and influence upon their hearts. We pray that they might be saved. We just commit this time to you today. We love you, we honor you, and we praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Number 441. 441.